It's good to see each and every one of you here. I'm glad you came out to hear our worship with us here. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know my brother is prepared. He's holding his books, anxious to deliver that word which God has given him. I pray that you are anxious to hear the word of God taught this day. I give you our speaker, our brother Jerry Case.
Is that better? Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. I want to ask for your prayers. I feel my weakness, and I'm going to do something a little different today. I have a sermon prepared, and I just feel so strongly to preach something different. So didn't necessarily prepare to do this when I know my brother said I prepared. But on my heart has been a lot of things. And it's tempting, probably, to preach about those things when possibly those things are symptoms. They're not the disease. Maybe that's what this is about. Maybe that's why I'm changing what I'm going to preach about. Gordon said some really serious words in his prayer, too, this morning, that he might learn even in his youth to submit to to look unto the Lord for his help or something like that. And that's what I'm trying to do now. So God help me find the words to deliver the message. I think I'm gonna start out of, the book of Messiah. Chapter 2, verse 13. It's on page 220 in my Book of Mormon. It says, believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He will forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. There's a couple of verses I've referred to many times recently. They've been on my heart a lot, and they're simple. And I feel like it's getting to the crux of what my sermon is today. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, I believe, it is the fourth chapter, and it's the 12th verse. And you've heard me say this before. 12th verse. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which have sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now I'm going to jump over to the 10th chapter of Matthew. And here, starting in verse 5, Jesus was actually commanding his 12 to go and to serve. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I don't dismiss those words by saying, well, that meant Jesus was on earth at that time. It's not the case anymore. And he taught that. His disciples, he told, to teach that. Is 12. And that's what I want to teach you today. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you look that up, it's near. It's close by. We have only to reach out. We have only to believe. I think it's not hard for us to maybe sit and read the Bible and sit and read the Book of Mormon, and we'll go, you know, I believe that. I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about believing that God is real and that He is at hand. Each moment, you don't depart from Him when you walk out the doors from this service. When you arise from your bed, you rise into Him who created you. He is your master. He is your father. And He loves you. Very, very much. About 10 years ago, my youngest son was in his last summer before going into camp. So we weren't really going to have summertime much anymore. And we took the older ones to camp. And on the way to camp, my wife dropped Jeremiah and I off in St. Louis. And we got on our bicycles, and we drove most of the way to Kansas City. We drove 210 miles. We took 5 days to do it. We started on a Saturday. The second day was Sunday, and so we just rested that day. We didn't ride that day, but then we rode 3 more days. And we completed 210 miles. Think about that. If you ride four days and you complete 210 miles, that's a lot of miles every day, you know. And he was 11 years old. But while we were on our trip, we had lots of adventure. And we talked about a lot of things. And there was a scripture that we talked about several of those days. It just kept coming up. I don't know, Jeremiah, can I put you on the spot? What? The shortest verse in the Bible.
Jesus wept.
Jesus It's in John. It's the 11th chapter. And this is on the occasion that Jesus' friend, his good friend, Lazarus, had passed away. Very upsetting for him. Very upsetting for all their friends. So to put it kind of back in its own environment, let me read that story a little bit. I'm going to start with verse 17, John 11. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. When Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. No, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at that day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then were with her in the house and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Verse 36. Then saith the Jews, Behold how he loved him. I'll skip over a few verses. Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, speaking of Martha, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou mightst believe that thou mightst send me, that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Jesus knew he could, by the power of his Father, that he could raise him from the dead. I believe from some of the things he said that he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. But when he was there with those people, with his people, experiencing their grief, that's how he feels it. And that's the degree of love that he has for us. He wept. He grieved for them. He grieved for Lazarus, the suffering he had gone through. When I knew I was going to change things, I went to my daughter and I asked her if she would consent to come forward and give a testimony. So I'd like her to do that now.
I know Aaron stood up, I think, a week and a half ago and asked if you guys would pray about an application that I was filling out for Children's Hospital. We've had a lot of medical bills, and this bill was really large, and it's a huge burden to Aaron and I. And I filled out this application. It was a charity application for financial assistance. And they said it was going to take 3 months and we probably wouldn't hear anything back and they would let us know whether they could discount our bill or not. I filled out the application. It was in a lot of detail, all of our financial information. And we dropped it off last Monday. And on Friday, around 4 o'clock, I got a call and it was a man from the hospital and he said that he was a financial assistance director, that all of the applications go through him. And that he looks over all of them and decides what should happen, and that he was glad that I included a note about why I don't work and some of the issues that we've had with medical bills in the last several years. And he said that he wanted to give me good news before the weekend. And he said they were just writing off the entire bill, that he was moved by my note and that he wanted to give me good news, and just a huge burden lifted off of Aaron and I. I know that Aaron is very tired and working many overtime hours, and it's just an enormous blessing, and he lifted it completely off of us and still trying to really let it sink in, but I'm incredibly thankful. Also, thank you for praying about it. I know that those prayers were answered. Thank you.
Is there an on? I said, don't believe that he can. Believe that he will. When you take your petitions to the Lord, believe that there's a different kind of nearness. He looks within you. He knows the whole situation. It isn't about money. It isn't just about death. It's about his love for us. Those of you who were here, well, maybe a week and a half ago, was that when I was in charge of prayer service? Maybe Wednesday before last, maybe. I gave some homework, actually, at the end of that prayer service. It's Psalm 139. And I don't mind doing your homework. By the way, I do appreciate, I did get a text from somebody the next day so saying, thanks for the homework. I don't know if it says the same thing in all your Bibles. In my Bible, it has like a title on this psalm. It says, The Everlasting Presence and Power of God. Verse 1, Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting, my down-sitting, and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou passest, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy word and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked, if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think if we perceived the nearness of the kingdom of heaven, it seems that possibly some of our decisions would be easier. Some of our behavior would even change. But the Lord is faithful, and He constantly testifies to us. Every day. If we just have our eyes and our ears open, if we just believe, if we recognize it when he does it. There's verses in here, you know, sometimes you're not sure how to take them. I'm back looking at this Psalm 139. Verse 8. Not sure how to take that sometimes. It says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I know that there was a very dark time in my life. One of those times that came and came without warning. And one of those times, if you thought about it, you'd say, oh, well, you know, I could never do that. But suddenly you're there. It happened. It's happening to you, and you don't know how to deal with it. Some of you, I think, knew about it at the time. I was 21 years old when this happened. I was going to college, trying to make my plans, try to do the right thing with my life. I'd been raised, I believe, unto God. I had been raised to believe. I was definitely having trouble feeling afar off during this time. But just to quickly tell you the story, I was in love. And we had plans for the future. And I remember we had gym class together. We were playing basketball. And I was kind of punching her a little bit. Come on, Leanne. What's wrong? You're just not playing up to par, you know. This isn't you. What's wrong? She goes, you know, she just kind of shrugged it off, and we went on and completed our basketball game. I really felt bad about this later. after gym class, we had gone to gym class together, so I took her back over to the, it's like a dorm house there in Independence that the girls stayed in, the other nursing students, and she was one of the nursing students too. She said, you know, I feel like I got the flu or something. I just don't feel good. And we had a little supper. I remember all the detail. I remember we ate something we called Stevie's egg. Another friend of ours had a nephew that was a little child, and they would always take a hard-boiled egg and put salt and pepper on it and mash it up with butter. And that was Stevie's egg. And so we had Stevie's egg for supper because she wasn't feeling good, and that sounded good to her. And she ate. And I went home. And the next morning I got up and I went to class, and our first class of the day we did not have together. But in the middle of class, there was a knock at the door. And it was another nursing student, and she was there and asked for me. And so I went to see what was going on, and she said that she was up in the emergency room and that she was gravely ill. And so I went, and I stayed with her, and they called her parents. They ended up having to do surgery, and at 5:30, the next morning, she died. And it was at the time something that I just couldn't hardly wrap my mind around. And and I didn't know what to do. Her parents, we had a memorial service there for her, and then her parents just asked me to go home with them. They lived up in Iowa. And so I went with them. I didn't know what else to do. I was kind of, stunned. I was paralyzed almost. And so I went with them, and it was good that I did. They had not been able to be with her for the last several months because she was away at school, and they wanted all those months back. They wanted to talk about her. And so we did that. And when I, I kind of stayed a little bit, a few days, and had the funeral. Then I went back home. And when I went back home, I had no intention of going back to school at the time. I just didn't know what to do. But I got up in the morning on Monday, and I couldn't think of something else to do. And so I went to school. But right away, I found out that something had broken. And I had no feelings. I don't know how to explain that. It was just like a dark void. And it's worse than pain. It was just an emptiness. And it continued and it continued and continued. And I'm going to say approaching a month after she passed, I had gone to bed one night, and I didn't any more than go to bed. I closed my eyes, and the lights came back on. And so I opened my eyes, and she was there. I don't tell this very often. I'm honestly afraid to tell it. And I was just beside myself. I was so excited. And I jumped out of bed, and I hugged her, and I welcomed her, and obviously if she was there, then she could stay. And she was real clear that she was there to comfort me and that she couldn't stay. And we talked about a lot of things that night. She sat on the side of my bed and held my hand. And I know this sounds far-fetched, sounds impossible. You try a million different ways sometimes to explain something away. But it just was. It's just what happened. And it did happen. And she stayed. And she stayed all night long. And we talked. And in the morning, in the middle of talking, she said, "It's time for me to go." And I didn't want her to. As I saw, as I looked, you know, out the window in my room, I could see that the sun was coming up. And she walked out the room and around the corner. And I ran after her, and she wasn't there. But she was there that night, and she was there all night long. And I know that these things are impossible, except for God. And that He is real. We see everything in this world as real. But you know, nothing in this world lasts forever. Nothing. And He does. He is real. Realer than the things that we see. Realer than the things that we touch, taste, feel. believe. Believe on him. Believe him. Believe what he says. You know, there's a lot of things to cure financial problems. Other people will help out. That wasn't what this was about with Amy and Aaron. It wasn't what it was about. It was about God saying, I'm here and I'm real. And I'm now. I have endeavored through my life, because these memories, like what happened to me, they never get distant. They stay right in front of your face because they're so profound. And life gets a different meaning than it ever did before. And I was changed. There are a lot of things to say about the symptoms, about the sin, about the things that get between us as brothers and sisters and tear us apart. Because I believe that's just like bullseye. That's the devil's business to get done. But I believe this is the key. First, believe. Believe in this love that is incomprehensible. And here, I guess, is our walking orders. It's, you know, what do you do? How do you repay? How do you be his? Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I think I'll take a little counsel from a sermon we heard recently, and that was very short. And he just said, I think I've said it. So I will sit down. Pray for the welfare of your souls. Pray for the welfare of your brother's soul. And know that Jesus is real. That we are only in this life because of him. And that one day, everyone, Not everyone in this building, everyone will stand before the Lord for judgment. That is the end of all things. That's where this current life is leading. We will stand before Him to be judged, to find out. And I believe that we can know if we're His, where we're going to spend eternity. The last thing we want to hear, last thing ever, is for Him to say, I never knew you. God bless you.